My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So Jim Harbaugh was suspended his final year at Michigan several times, a couple of times. Missed half the season, came back in time for the playoffs, and won himself a national championship, Ed. He took that and parlayed that to another NFL head coaching job where he's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if he wants to return to the NCAA, it's going to be 1 year banned. Is it safe to say that he's, never going to return to the NCAA?
He's got a 5-year, $80 million contract with the Chargers. I don't think he's in any danger, and I don't think he's going back. And it's just, to me, the whole thing is so stupid. Like, okay. I think the NCAA just makes themselves look so stupid over and over.
I love this.
Do you?
Yeah.
They're going to give him 1 year, but why? It's nothing. It's a big nothing burger.
They have to do something. So like,
that's what they do, though.
I know.
They do stupid stuff.
It's still something where we've seen guys go off to the NFL, off to the NBA that have done illegal things in college and then try to come back to college. And they've made, like, Kelvin Sampson's the easiest one to give an example of. He went to work for the NBA while all the teams he was coaching went on sanctions. And then he came back and now he's coaching at Houston and everybody loves him. Forgot that he cheated at Oklahoma. Forgot that he cheated at Indiana. Forgot that he cheated everywhere he went. Was Pete Carroll have a lifetime ban from college because of how much he cheated, Rob?
No, he doesn't have a ban at all. He can come back anytime he wants.
I chose violence.
You can choose it.
No,
but get a Jeep.
I'm happy that they're doing something for the guys that left. You can't punish them anyway once they're gone, so make sure it's there when they come back. This is like, I always wondered when you get a lifetime ban from a stadium, how do they know?
How do they know?
But apparently there's like facial recognition and they can find out. But obviously you would know if Harbaugh came back. Maybe he comes back with a mustache and changes his name like Bobby Valentine.
That was funny.
I think, I'll be honest with you, man. I think in a couple of years, when we prove that the NCAA is irrelevant, he'll be back. And it won't serve that 1 year ban. I don't see him coming back, but I don't. I'm with Ed. Kudos for you for pencil whipping something and acting to look like you have some authority, but you got no authority here. None whatsoever. 1 year ban. This guy cheated and won a national championship. He leaves after signing a 5-year deal. They keep the national championship, and that's it.
Right.
He cheated. When do you cheat and not have to vacate the title? Does that happen?
That's the bad part.
That's the part about, see, to me, I agree with Ed. This is a spit in the wind here.
By the way,
this is like, you know, you're suspending a guy, banning a guy for a year who's probably never going to return anyway. Oh, let's throw out the smoke screen. Well, I can see through your smoke screen. What about the title? They cheated to win the title.
I took a stand.
What about the title?
Yeah, I mean, if they wanted to do something, this is more irritating than if they took actual action. Like, I would have been happier if they gave them the SMU death penalty.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Mm.
Like, that was real.
I'm going to take a stand, too. Selma Hayek, if you ever try to sleep with me, it ain't happening, sweetheart. You're on a 10-year ban.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but just you ban a guy who's probably never going to coach football again anyway.
But you know what? Yeah. In 5 years, let's say he runs his course through the NFL and he wants to go back, we don't know what the NCAA is going to look like by then.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't know who exists.
That's my point. By the time he does want to come back, when that happens, if it happens, NCAA may be toothless, or maybe they realize that they're toothless. They already are.
They're getting banned from Tropicana Field. Nobody goes anyway. So, what's the point?
I just think it's a joke, man. It's another joke, another way of the NCAA proving that they're archaic, they're irrelevant, they're clueless. They just are, man. Just go away. What is it that you do?
They're functionaries. Just tell me
what.
Like that.
Could you please explain to me what your role in all of this is? Because I'm watching and I can't figure it out. The conferences run whatever they want to do. Tell me if the SEC in 5 years wanted to hire Jim Harbaugh, that they're not going to run the red light on that 1 year ban. Tell me they won't.
Absolutely will.
Every time Rob brings this up, it takes me back to Office Space when they sit the guy down and is like, what do you do here?
Exactly.
I'm a people person. I take their problems and I deliver it to them. So what if we had, just hear me out, what if we had them go right to them and then we don't need you? Yeah. But I'm a people person.
Exactly. The NCAA is good for Olympic sports. That's what it's good for. Football, basketball, and I think in a lot of ways, baseball ought to just drop them. You don't need them. Conferences rule. Conference is one thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I go back to, I hated the pandemic. It was the worst time of my, one of the worst times of my life. But it revealed something that I had known for years. When the NCAA said, we're not playing football, the conferences said, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, we will. We're going to play football. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to have a playoff. Guess what? You don't own the playoffs.
Your name's not on it.
Your name is not even, and I asked Ed and them that back then, I said, watch the college football playoffs, Ed, and show me one time where you see the NCAA logo. Mm. Did you see it?
No, of course
it's
not.
It's nowhere. They don't own it.
Why do you have to be here today? Because I'm going out on a note where, like, this is the one thing that he's been 100% right on from Jump Street. And I've said, I'm looking at it going, he said, what does the NCAA do? And I'm going, well, they put the tour. But the money has to go. Like, they have. And I'm going, he's right. What do they do?
They don't do it. They collect money.
Yeah. Have they regulated any of these teams moving conferences?
Nope.
Nope.
They can't.
They can't. Right. They can't.
If
I never thought about this until he brought it up.
If the Miami Dolphins said, we don't like being in the AFC East, we want to move. NFL, what?
Yeah. Hell, you
sit
are.
Down. Right. Sit down. Yeah. And play in the AFC. That's what happens. Yeah. If the Ravens say, you know what? We want to go to the NFC. Good story.
Right. We'll take another advisement.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't like our schedule this year. We're going to make our own schedule. No, you won't, because there's this TV thing that we have that you're gonna obey the rules.
I'll tell you, Florida State and Clemson are going to be gone soon.
The NCAA, they control nothing. They don't control out-of-conference scheduling. They don't control in-conference scheduling. Mm-hmm. They don't control where you put. They control nothing. They're collecting money, and they have no teeth whatsoever.
But they all have jobs.
That's all they do. And wear custom-made suits.
Yep.
Let's go to Parkville and get Chris. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, you guys, I concur. They haven't had teeth for years. In fact, I don't think after the contract runs its course and he does his 5 years, I don't think the NCAA is going to be nothing but a badge. Because they haven't, you know, the conferences have done their things. In this case, the tail does wag the dog, it seems. They just, they're irrelevant. I concur with you guys completely. And it's obvious. I'm sure everyone does at this point.
Where's the money?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
Where's the money? We started off by asking, where's the money? What the NCAA has to do? Well, what we'll let you do is you lose your name, image, and likeness. And everybody, like fools, ran out and reported all the one of these kids making $1 million. Let's keep going down the roster.
We'll give you $600 and a free guess.
We're not making anything. So what happened was, again, the smokescreen. The smokescreen of, oh, he's making $2 million. She's making $1 million. That's the smokescreen. But let's go back to the original question. Where's the money? We never answered the question.
Yeah.
We threw, you know, Roddy Piper used to say, just when you think, when you have the answers, I change the question.
Yes.
That's what they did. We thought we had the answers. They changed the question.
It's like working here.
Anybody else want to co-sign on that?
What?
Anybody else want to co-sign on that? Let me see who's listening. I don't agree with him. I've never agreed with him.
Like Peter's denial in Jesus Christ Superstar.
I don't know him. By the way, Deadpool passed The Passion of the Christ worldwide. Marvel Jesus is winning. It's crazy, man. Sorry, he brought up
worldwide?
Really? Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is Kobe Mayo here to stay? We'll talk about that at 7:45. But on the other side, Lamar Jackson said he feels faster this season. But do you think that means we'll see more designed runs by him? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 7:16 in the a.m., Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Commissioner's Baltimore at 8 o'clock right now. Lamar Jackson said he feels faster this season. What do you think, Jeremy, that means in terms of what he does with this offense? Do you see a different Lamar, or is this just beneficial for what he already does?
I think he's already going to be faster. You know, we talked about this ad nauseum. Like, the reason I believe that he wanted to lose this weight is because he got caught from behind a couple of times last year, and that's something
no doubt
an athlete of that caliber is unaccustomed to having that happen to him. And it's like, usually when that happens, you start to go, is it time for me to retire?
Think about this. He probably hasn't had that happen since freshman year in high school.
I think he said as much. But, I mean, he didn't say the date, but it's like
high school, college, his first couple years in the NFL, and there's like, holy crap, the linebacker caught me.
He called himself fat.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so
he said to him he was fat.
Yeah, I think he's just going to be a lot quicker. I don't think you see him get caught in the open field. I don't know if this is something, Ed made a great point yesterday, like, I don't think this makes him more susceptible to injury, but people are going to go, hey, when he had on all that weight, he played the whole season. It's a small sample size, and it just kind of worked out. But Ed said, where do guys usually get hurt? In the pocket, throwing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has to do with your blind side.
Too. It's like, you can put on 20 pounds of muscle. Somebody rolls on his knee. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
So I do think he's going to be a lot faster, Rob, and we're not going to see him get caught from behind.
Yeah, I think psychologically, it's like the weight room. I remember in high school, my coaches kept telling me after my freshman year, get in the weight room, get in the weight room. And I don't know how much stronger it made me physically, but psychologically it did something to me. You know what I mean? It made me play strong. It made me have more confidence. I think with him losing the weight, I don't know how much faster it's going to make him at this point of his career, but if he feels like he is, I think maybe it helps him out a little bit. Because if he it may or may not, but if he felt fat and he felt slow, you tend to run that way. You tend not to believe that you can break away from people. If he gets back to that point psychologically where he believes it, then, you know, I think it helps him out there, if nothing else. In terms of the injuries, Lamar Jackson just has a way of slipping tackles. Yeah. You know, he does. Very seldom do you see someone squaring up and leveling him. So I don't believe it's going to be a factor in the injuries at all.
How often, like, do you see stuff like this where, you know, you have a quarterback that's coming off an MVP season and he's drastically changing something that he did because he was unhappy with the results at the end of the year? And like, as much as we talk about him being caught from behind, when he got caught from behind in the playoffs, like, I was joking, but I was kind of half serious. I thought when he threw the ball and it was tipped to himself, he was going to take it to the house.
Yeah, and I think he thought so.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's running sideways, which is, I was joking with Ed, like, I mean, I'm serious. When I played flag football, I'd turn my stomach to guys. Instead of, you know, like, and I'd run backwards. I know it sounds stupid, but like, when you're running sideways to try to avoid somebody, you're not trusting your speed.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by psychologically. If he believes, you know, that may have been just going into that situation, I think I'm fat. He may have thought that during the season.
We're both world-class athletes, but I'm not comparing myself to Lamar Jackson. All I'm saying is that when you don't trust your speed, you do different things. That's what I started to do. 100%. You adapt.
Yeah, you adapt.
Yeah.
Right,
Rob?
No. We're both world-class athletes. We'll stop there. Do you think it maybe changes the play calling any?
I mean, I think the personnel you have should change the play calling. I don't know that it changes his play calling. Bringing in Derrick Henry should change your play calling. Having the wide receivers you have and having two tight ends should change your play calling from a standpoint
But you don't think more design runs?
I don't know. Like, so I'm wondering how much we see Justice Hill early in the season. The weird thing for me, and I know, look, I'm a gambler. I look at all this stuff. Lamar's rushing total is the lowest it's ever been since he's been in.
Last year.
No, this year coming up. It's like 700 some yards.
Oh, you mean gambling-wise? Yeah. Projected, you mean?
Yeah, his over-under is like 770 yards, where they were putting him at 1,000. By the way, we added a game. We added another game, and his total went down. It's just crazy to kind of see that. And so it leads me to believe that maybe they are going to try to focus more on passing. Maybe it's because of his injury history that they worry about that. But it is kind of odd to see his number that low.
Well, see, the define design runs, because they run a lot of RPO. And I think Lamar Jackson at times, you know, again, if he's feeling he's fat, feeling he's slow, he's not running as much in those RPOs. He's not. He's decided to hand it off. If he feels faster, feels more elusive, I think he might decide to run it a few more times, two or three more times a game, if he's feeling good.
Yeah. It's so weird because I'm torn on that, because like when I saw the number, I'm like, oh my God, hammer the over. And then I went, why is it this low? Like, it's, you know, it's the whole, is it too good to be true?
Because he's not going to be the leading rusher on the team anymore for the first time since he's been here.
Yeah, and I wonder on those RPOs, too, if running them with Derrick Henry, if he's going to look at that and go, yeah, okay, good luck. Just hand the ball to him.
No, seriously, I think Henry, you know, is going to get a lot of work, which then I hope they don't do what they've been doing, where, you know, they split this up where one guy's got 600 yards, who's got 400 yards, Lamar's got 800. I want to see Derrick Henry have 1,300 yards, 1,400 yards, because he can. And Lamar get his, you know, 600, 700.
I wonder how many carries, though, is like with Henry. I wonder how they use him this year, because I'm wondering if it starts off slow, and then, as we've talked about, Dehember, that's what they call it in Tennessee, December with Derrick Henry, he's running downhill where everybody else is worn out.
See, I'm wondering the opposite. I'm wondering the first two or three games, just to set the tone, do they run them hard?
I bet just in game one they run them hard.
Yeah, just to kind of give the defense something to think about, then dial it back to save his legs a little bit and finish strong. But I think they come out the first game or two, if not three, a lot of Derrick Henry. Just to reset what the defense thinks and the game plan, and then they come with something else.
Yeah. He's led the league in carries the last 2 years. So he's still got it. There's no sign of slowing down to me. So I want to see him have a big year here.
I don't see him leading the league in carries this year.
No, me either.
Yeah.
Because of the team he's on.
Yeah.
Allen Iverson led the league in carries his final year, too.
Did he?
Yeah. Palmed the ball.
The penalties, though.
No, but, like, in all honesty, like, it's been a long time since we've had a back like this. We've had exciting backs. Mm-hmm. I think Ray Rice was exciting. I thought J.K. Dobbins was going to be exciting. The injuries happened. But going back to Jamal Lewis, once he got going, you're like, I don't want to tackle that guy.
That's what he reminds you of. He's, you know,
guys make business decisions when Derrick Henry is running at them.
Cornerbacks weigh, like, 170 sometimes, 190 at best. We have a couple of them on this team. He's a 250-pound running back.
How do you guys feel about week one? Have you thought about it at all?
No. The Chiefs, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about it?
So Chiefs lost last year in their opening game against the Lions. We found out the Lions are a lot better than we think. But they didn't have Travis Kelce and Chris Jones. A lot of people forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into this game, it's almost like a pick 'em. I feel like the sports books are showing the Ravens a lot of love, because if you're not favored by 3 points or more at home, then it's saying
you're
that
the underdog.
Yeah. So
I think the Ravens win, honestly.
I'm torn.
They should have beat them in the AFC Championship. It's not like they can't beat this team. It's like, I think people have to stop with this being awestruck by the Chiefs.
I think I need to see this Ravens defense. And the preseason is not going to tell you anything.
No, nothing. Nothing.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. And that's why I can't really give what I think about it, because you don't know. The Ravens defense has changed a lot. The Chiefs have added some parts as well. Commissions Baltimore at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, Mike Elias said on Inside Access that Suarez is in line to take Grayson's spot in rotation. They really have a choice. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
With all the injuries that we've had, it's hard to picture ourselves a half game out of first without Albert. So he's right at the top of the list. But that said, we're still kind of sitting down as a staff and working through all this. We've had other transactions today, and there's a few balls in the air in terms of how we want to set up the pitching staff. But I think that Albert has put himself in the position to kind of carry the torch there in the fifth spot for as long as he's needed.
Well, that was on Inside Access yesterday with Orioles General Manager Mike Elias. I don't know if Albert has put himself in that position, Jeremy, or the Orioles have put themselves in that position. Or you know what? Let me step back. Or the injuries have put the Orioles in that position, I should say.
I don't think anyone's had it worse than the Braves with injuries.
Right.
I'm not saying we're close to them, but we got to be in the conversation.
I think we are.
Oh, we're kinda, yeah.
I think the only reason why we're not saying that because, like someone said earlier, our injuries have not jeopardize our playoff status. Mm-hmm. So that's why it looks like we're so far away from the Braves.
Well,
also, I don't want to say it. Mm-hmm. There's one injury the Braves have that we haven't had.
I'm knocking on wood.
Yes. When
your best player goes down,
exactly.
Your best pitcher goes down, your second best pitcher goes down, your third best pitcher goes down, your second baseman goes down, your first baseman comes in a season, he's not hitting, your star rookie of the year candidate you had blows out his hamstring. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've lost every. Look at their outfield right now. It's a who's who of nobodies.
Well, a who's he?
Yeah. Adam Duvall, Eddie Rosario, and Jared Kelenic. I mean, Jared Kelenic was a top prospect that was thrown away. So I do think they've had it worse.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to sit here and look at yourself and go, Kyle Bradish, John Means, and just keep going through it,
seriously.
All the injuries.
Westberg, the best closer in baseball has been out.
Stemming back from last year. That's another great point. It's tough, man. And like weathering these storms. And I think the key is how long these guys are going to be out and what do they look like when they come back? Because, you know, I was saying the other day that I'm not going to lose my mind if we don't get the one seed and get the bye. But I think for the health of
I'm going to lose my mind if we get the one seed and the bye. I'm going to lose my mind if we do.
Oh, you mean it? You don't want it? See, I think the extra time.
Don't want it. Yeah. And it has nothing to do with the time off or hurt the team. It has nothing to do with that. It's,
you like the mindset of the playoff at their playoff.
Exactly. Exactly. It's more the mindset of this team.
So this is the time off.
I just think this team is built to where, all right, let's go right back at it. And I think being that the fact that they did not get there last year, or they got that last year, they just know how that feels. I think psychologically.
What Rob's saying is it's the same thing as like it's about the long layoff, but for him, it's more about the mentality of the team.
Yeah,
because like if you go, there is something
it's
to be said about.
Thing.
I know, but it's a different way to look at it. That's why I'm saying like I could see how what you're saying, but I understand what he's saying. It's a difference of, you know, if you're playing the playoffs, if you're playing in what you think is playoff games in at the end of September, leading in trying to win the division, which I think this division is going to come down to the wire. Then you're playing playoff games leading into the playoffs.
Absolutely.
You know? So
I'm not opposed to getting a bye. I just think the way this team is constructed, they need to keep going. They need to keep They need to keep going. And also, I like the fact
buys in football,
you've got so many days off in between now. You really set up your pitchers.
Yeah, and like the other part of this too is we start looking at the matchups and who you're going to face. I said this before, like I love the fact that when you do get the bye, you should be able to set your pitching up the way you want and not according to what the other team has and, you know, give them a couple days off so they can have their number one go against your number one. That's not it. If you won, if you were the one seed, you deserve the chance to set up your pitching staff the way you want and the other guys have to let it fall where it may.
How you guys feel about the rotation now as it stands? Any confidence that this rotation can get through the rest of August and September?
I'm worried. I mean, I am, because, you know, because I don't, when is Grayson going to be okay? Because now, look, we know we have in Burns. You know, I think, you know, we have in Eflin. Suarez, I'm not so sure. Like the guy a lot, but I think he's a better bullpen piece. I'm not really confident he's going to come out and have a start like he did the other day. So I'm not that confident. I'm just not.
Well, I think they're better than they were, even with the injury to Grayson, because of the pitching you've added. Now, I know people aren't going to look at Trevor Rogers and go, oh, my God, I can't. I think Zach Eflin is a really solid pitcher.
I do, too. So, I like him.
So the answer I would say to you is I think they are a better team than before the All-Star or before the trade deadline. But, yeah, would you love to have Grayson here? Of course you would.
It's just that every time we get a good pitcher, we lose a good pitcher. You know what I mean? Yeah. Means back, then you lost Means. You got Bradish back, then you lost Bradish. You go get Eflin, and now you lose Grayson. You know, we can't have three.
Yeah. And then you got to be thankful that you got Eflin because Grayson got hurt. So you're happy you have him. But again, I understand what you're saying. It's like, yeah, but we don't have now, we don't have Grayson. So it's just, it kind of sucks.
So if you're just talking about making the playoffs, they're fine. You're weathering your storm. You hope you have no other injuries. The guys come back healthy.
I think Grayson will be back.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said, can this staff get you through this little stretch?
But that's why I was asking, how important is the one seed? Because do you think you're going to need that extra week or so for Westberg, maybe Kloem, and maybe Grayson?
Yeah. 98.8 is pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's the percentage they have.
Yeah. So according to social media, they're done. They can't make the playoffs.
Yeah, social media.
Stupid people.
Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Good morning, man.
Hey,
good morning,
Larry.
How you doing?
Huh? Hey, listen, why y'all think, listen, though, people was hitting me up talking about, man, some guy named, he trying to say you was Larry from Pikesville, man. Right. I was busy working yesterday. I ain't got time to be calling y'all with different names and all that
you
stuff.
You haven't
man,
been busy
Cowboys
working
fan.
Since you got hired.
Not
said,
true, man.
He said, have you ever been to Bowley's Quarters? I've heard of it. I've been through there once.
No, he's had relatives there.
I know Larry, though. He good people, Larry. Larry's good people, you know. I know his family and all that, man. So, you know. But listen, man. Listen, as far as the pitcher staff go, like I said, if Grayson out, say he out maybe this time next month, man. I got faith that Eflin can step up and be that number two guy. Rogers or Creamer had to step up and you know, be the number three guy. And
Creamer?
My boy Soares.
Yeah, Soares too. He got
Yeah, Soares. You know, my boy Soares, man. You know, he gonna have to dig deep and give us what he got. Man, he was pitching good for majority of the season. He only had like what, maybe three bad starts, you know, so I got faith in the guy. And I'm still pissed about the other night, man, when Hyde took him out, 73 pitches. You know, ain't like he was saying, I'm gassed. I know he pitched, you know, we say it was 4 days rest.
We've discussed this, man. Like, he had a spot start he wasn't expecting, pitched a few days before that. You do not want that cat going through the lineup a third time. You just don't. So that's why he comes out at 73 pitches. Plus, like,
Hyde made some decisions that made me scratch my head. That wasn't one of them.
No, and the other part,
that wasn't one of them.
Like, if you're going back to it, they've talked about the pinch hitting stuff because everybody's always, like Hyde said, I just didn't pinch hit for the sake of pinch hitting. And again, people are so results driven. I've said I would not have pinch hit for Jackson Holliday there, but he did walk.
Yeah.
The next time Kobe Mayo doesn't have a hit, I would not have pitched for Colton Cowser because I think those two guys should be everyday players, lefty, righty, whatever. Give them a day off against a tough lefty, but they should be playing five or six times a week. You know, like that's the way it should, and not pinch hitting for him just because it's a lefty righty matchup.
And I hate to say this, but for the most part, if you look at Suarez's starts, generally speaking, he's normally a
like
80 to 90 pitch guy. He's, you know, he's not that guy. Like people, so this is about average for him.
People talk about it, like he's at 73 pitches. Why couldn't they leave him in longer so he faces one more batter and gets to 80? Like, what do you want?
Yeah,
did you want him to go 100?
He's generally an 80 to 90 pitch guy. He has 73. You don't start the inning with 73 if you're thinking 80 to 90 pitches. And like you said, Jeremy, why let him face the lineup again? You let him leave with some success with five innings, giving up no runs on two hits with six strikeouts. That wasn't a move. On Tuesday night that made me scratch my head. That was not it. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Commissions Baltimore at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, Kobe Mayo is here. But is he here to stay? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
He is coming up and helping us at third base at a time when he's badly needed. And I hope, just like Jackson did, he's soaking everything in and learning from this experience. And I do think his at-bats have looked good, even though the numbers aren't there. So we'll see what he does here the next few days. But I think it'll be nice for him if he can get a ball to fall on the grass.
That's Mike Elias from Inside Access. Listen, I like the kid. I want Mayo to be a successful baseball player. I just don't know whether right now is the time to develop him. And yes, somebody, what do you have rather, Arias? Yeah, I would. I absolutely would. I think defensively, he's not ready. Offensively, you know, he's a little in over his head. I don't know if this is the time to try to develop a guy like that. I just don't know. And this is my fear from the very beginning. Now, he could catch fire beginning tonight.
You think he's in the lineup tonight? Kevin Gausman's reverse split, so I'm not saying you're going to stack your lineup with righties, but there are teams that do that. They don't look at him traditionally as,
you don't have a left-handed option at third.
I know, but like, do you trust the other bat more in Ramon?
Because
that's what I'm saying. Like, do you think he's in there? And it's weird too because like, I want to see Kobe Mayo. I just want to keep seeing him play, and I'm trying to pull up his numbers here because it's still a small sample size, but when you're looking up at that scoreboard and you see zero and you're going up to the plate and you haven't got a hit yet, it looks just like Jackson Holliday when he first came
up. Absolutely. They changed the call, the first ground ball that was hit to him, to a hit. They originally called it an error. I think it's an error. I think bad fundamentals. If he turns his fingers up on a glove, the ball bounces right in his glove. And he can turn a double play, 5-4-3 double play. Now, you can assume a double play, but he gets an out.
Yeah.
They just gave him an error on the throw. He just doesn't look.
He's not a major league third baseman.
I don't think he's a major league fielder.
I think, he ends up at first base. That's where he's going to end up. But the bottom line is with him, again, he's 0-for-13 with 2 walks.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a small sample size, but when it's your first 13 at bats, everybody's paying attention.
And it's not just the 0-for-13 that it is, Ed. It just doesn't look like,
Well, there's a difference when you look lost, and that's the problem. And that's what Jackson looked like when he came up in April. He looked like he was overmatched. Now he's not. He's fixed it.
And I'm not saying this guy's not a major league hitter. I'm just saying right now might not be. You're in a playoff race. You're in a pennant run. Expectations are high on his baseball team, and the more he fails, the further he digs himself into a hole because he's probably thinking he's failing his teammates. I don't know if not right now is the time to do this.
Well, the problem is I think sometimes guys, when they go through these slumps, sometimes they look like even veterans. I thought Urias looked like he'd never played baseball. I texted you guys the other day. He had a 3-pitch, strikeout. I was like, did you ever play this game? Like he wasn't even close. He's a major league player that has established history. So, I mean, it happens to these guys.
My only problem is I would sit here and say this, that Urias is definitely better in the field.
Yeah, okay? Sure.
There's no question there. He's hitting .236. And, Rob, we look at these numbers. His on-base percentage is .308. He's slugging .368. So there's not a lot of offensive, even with Kobe Mayo not having a hit.
Right.
I'd still rather see Mayo's bat. But again, these are the business decisions you have to make. What's more important to you now? Your defense, or as you say, you're in a playoff race.
Yeah.
Do you want to try to get this kid to mature at this level? How long is his leash? It's been 5 games for him. That's it.
You can't say, well, just DH him because you got another guy, right-handed DH, who's been doing pretty good right now. Him and he's doing, come on. How do you take Eloy out of the lineup as a right-handed DH?
Now,
you can't.
Mm-hmm.
He can't take him out of the lineup, so he's got to play in the field.
I do wonder what the lineup looks like tonight. Just because, all right, so again, with a right-hander on the mound with reverse splits, O'Hearn, Eloy, who's DHing, Mountcastle's their daddy. You want him in the lineup regardless of who's pitching, right?
Yeah.
How are you juggling it?
How am I juggling too much, man? I mean, this Cowles has got to be in the lineup. Santander's got to be in the lineup. Henderson's got to be in the lineup. Maybe they sit Adley today. Maybe.
Are you going to put Eloy in the outfield at all?
No.
No.
I don't want to see it, but they brought it up that maybe he could get.
No. Yeah.
You remember when I used
Did you see him run to second base?
He hurt me running.
he laughed at himself. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I don't want to see that cat in the outfield.
You know the guys that I love that know when it's a double and, they're running out of first and you see him get around first is like, I know I'm not going any more than second, and they're not throwing me out.
Yeah.
Let me just glide in the second base.
Yeah.
And that's that was a laborious run.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Adley gets the night off. I don't sit Jackson right now. Eloy's going to be off probably because you're going to start O'Hearn.
I didn't check. Is a night game tonight or afternoon game? It's getaway day.
Yes. It's night game, I think. Is it Thursday? Yeah, 7-7.
Yeah. I didn't check because I'm flying out. So, it's
7-07.
Anyway, the whole point of this, too, is they have options of what they want to do. They just don't have a lot of options at third base. When we talked about all the guys that were really important to this team, we bring up Gunnar and Adley. I think Westberg has to be right in that group, man.
You know how I felt about Westberg from the beginning, man. That guy is just, he's an assassin, man. He's all ball.
If he wasn't on this team, he'd be number one. Because you have Gunnar and Adley, and I think people just didn't realize how good he is.
What did Westberg hurt? His wrist?
Yeah.
Why don't you take mine? Because like that thing's been worked out for years. It's strong. Nothing's going to break that.
True.
My one arm looks like Popeye. The other one looks like, just normal.
Can't open his fly with his left hand. Right hand, crush a Volkswagen.
Let's go to Antonio in Roseville. What's up, Antonio?
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Yeah, happy Friday, babe.
Happy Friday, babe.
Yeah, babe.
Oh, I love it.
How many bad home plate umpire calls need to be made before MLB makes the decision to go to robo-umps? Have a wonderful day, guys.
Good question.
I think after what we've seen this year, there's been a lot of
egregious calls.
You've seen the umpire scores. I think the guy last night, what did he have, an 88% or something? That's awful.
It's terrible.
It's awful.
Can I throw a curveball to this, though?
Mm-hmm. Is it in the strike
zone?
No.
No. They were not strikes at all. But was it the same call all night?
For them or for the...
The same call was made all night.
For the Blue Jays, too?
Yeah.
You felt that way?
The same call was made all night.
Because there was two
high strikes called against the Blue Jays, like four innings apart, that weren't strikes, but it's the same pitch. My point is, if at what point do you say this is what he's calling, make an adjustment? He was calling it a strike all night. See, my complaint about umpires is if the strike zone is floating. But he called that pitch a strike, which wasn't a strike, all night.
Yeah, but the problem I have
like with he called it for the Blue Jays.
Well, I get it. They're saying they're consistent, so you got to
consistently
adjust.
Bad.
But for both teams. But the problem is you can't always reach it because some of these calls, like is it Holiday? He punched that. There was like 6 inches outside.
Yeah, Holiday,
you can't reach it.
There was a big thing of like who's your favorite rivalry, and then it was like Holiday versus umpires because they keep calling him out.
Yeah, he's getting like, destroyed.
He got shafted. And he's
one,
killing it.
The one that now let's say I'm a right-handed hitter, Ed. Mm-hmm. The one that was just off the outside part of the plate. He called that about a dozen times last night. That's reachable. It's not a strike. We're not arguing whether it's a strike or not.
That's not a problem. Some of these things have been 6 inches off the plate.
He was calling strikes that weren't strikes, but he called it all night. Mm-hmm.
I'm mad because I didn't retweet it, and I'm trying to find out which writer had it here locally, but the strike zone for the Blue Jays, and this isn't me being homer, it looked like it was different for the strikes that were called, and you saw a lot of stuff off the plate. And again, I agree with Rob wholeheartedly. Like, if you're getting stuff called consistently off the plate, you have to adjust. In basketball, if they're calling the game tight, you have to adjust.
One of my players said to me one time, he keeps calling that a foul. He keeps calling that a foul. Don't do it.
Yeah, stop doing
that. Don't do it then. Gordon McGinnis from PFF joins us at 8:30. Oh, man, but on the other side is Commissioner's Baltimore.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes, we're going to do. Remember we talked earlier about the Red Sox having BDSM?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Sarasota having SCAT for Sarasota County Area Transit, like these dumb things when no one speaks up. I had an incident where I actually was so mad I spoke up in a very intimidating meeting because I was so angry at something they were doing.
Commissioner's Baltimore up next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.